Come, the Lord says, speaking like an aggressive salesman. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. But maybe that seems a little bit strange to us. How can you buy something with nothing? Wouldn't you normally expect to pay for it in some way? Because that's the way that the world works, right? It's not like I can just go to the store and take something off the shelf for myself. I have to earn it. I have to have the money that I've made through my job or that I have saved up in order to be able to buy things. That's just how things go. But God tells us to buy with nothing. Well, maybe we would think, well, does that mean that God's just giving it away? That he's running a charity, that he has a kind of soup kitchen that we can just come and take for ourselves whenever we might want? Well, that's a beautiful picture, absolutely, but it's not the way that Isaiah talks about it. He does not say take, but rather buy. God calls for us to buy it for ourselves. But how are we supposed to do that? How can we buy something with nothing? Well, let's see what God has to say. Verse 2. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. See, now that makes sense to us. We understand spending money in order to get something. We understand buying something with something. If you want it, you have to pay for it. And along with that might come the idea that the more that I pay for it, the more valuable it becomes. The more expensive it is, we might even think the more satisfying it is. That it will bring us a kind of happiness, a satisfaction, the more that we spend for it. But do we think this way about spiritual things too, Christians? That the more that we spend on it, the more valuable it becomes, the more satisfied we will be. Maybe I think as long as I put in a lot of effort doing this or that, then I will find my satisfaction. Or if I put in a lot of effort to stop doing something that I've been doing, then I will find my satisfaction in that way. As long as I spend a lot doing it, as long as I put a lot of effort into it, then I will find the satisfaction that I'm looking for. But how often is that really the case, that we find that kind of satisfaction? Because I put forth all of this effort, and yet I still feel empty. I still feel unsatisfied. Is this all some kind of joke? What am I supposed to do? But the problem, Christians, is that we were trying to buy something with something, and that will leave us unsatisfied in the end. What God calls us to do is to buy something with nothing. And this is what he means by that. Listen, he says. Listen to my voice. The one who listens to me will find what is good. He will be satisfied in the end. The one who listens to me will find that true satisfaction, even indulging themselves as if on rich food. We want to find satisfaction. We need to listen to the Lord, because then we will find the bread that we need. So if that's the case, then, if this is what God means, well, what is that bread? What is it that he promises to us that is going to give us such satisfaction? Well, God goes on to say in verse 3, incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. So listening to God then brings life. And that life comes to us through an everlasting covenant. God's covenant is the bread that we need. God's covenant is that which brings true life and true satisfaction. But notice what God says here about that covenant. He says, I will make with you an everlasting covenant. He does not say to us, well, I'm going to sell it to you, as if we need to somehow buy it with something. And he does not say that you need to come and take it, as if our listening is what ultimately pays for it. No, God says, I will make with you an everlasting covenant. This covenant comes from God. God is the one who brings it to us. God is the one who causes it to come about. Because ultimately, Christians, God is the one who has paid for it. We buy with nothing because God has already paid the price. But how has he paid for it? Well, he says here, through David. Now, when Isaiah talks about David, he's not talking about David from long ago, the historical King David. King David, on the one hand, lived a very long time before Isaiah. And God says, I will make this covenant with you, showing that this is still in the future. So no, he's not looking backwards towards the past. Rather, he is talking about a future David, a greater David, the one who would come as the son of David. He is the one in whom we have this covenant, a covenant which is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. And everything that Isaiah says here about David is actually talking about Jesus. Jesus is the witness to the peoples. He is the one who brings good news to the nations, to call all to himself. Jesus is the leader and the commander of the peoples, because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Nations will run to him and call upon his name, because Jesus shows us the steadfast love of God. In Jesus we have forgiveness. In Jesus we have the bread of life. All of this sounds pretty good. It would be a wonderful thing to have this bread of life. So how can I make it mine? How can I find that bread which gives everlasting life? Isaiah goes on to say, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. In other words, God calls on us to repent, to turn back towards him, to confess our sins, and to run after him. Seek, God says. Seek after me while I am near. Seeking doesn't mean going to look for something that's hidden or something that we have lost, but seeking after the one from whom we have run away. Seeking after the one who has called to us to come to him today. Call, God says. Call upon me while I am near. Call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Call on him confessing your sins. And call on him because he is strong to save. Forsake, God says. Forsake your evil ways. Turn away from your sins. Turn around and head back towards God. Because that's what the word repentance means, after all. It means to change your mind. It means to do something different, to think differently than the way you did before. And return, God says. Return to me, for I am gracious and merciful. Walk in my ways, God says. Follow after me in all things. Because to repent means also to walk in the right way, to turn away from what we were and to follow after what God would have us be. And God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will abundantly pardon. He will multiply his mercies without end. We have the blessings of Christ when we come to him in true faith, confessing our sins, turning away from our evil, and calling on him to forgive. And Christians, God loves to forgive. God wants to forgive. God wants to show us compassion through Jesus Christ, his Son. But does he really? Does he really want to forgive me? Does he really want to show me mercy? Because how could he ever forgive me for the things that I've done? I know my sins. It seems like I'm never able to forget them. I'm never able to run away from them, and they're always before me. Maybe I've been away from God for so many years. Can he ever forgive me for doing that? Maybe I keep falling into sin, even the same sin over and over again. How could God ever want me back? Because if somebody did that to me, I know how I would react. I wouldn't want to forgive. I wouldn't want to show them mercy. I would never want to forget. And it seems like my sins are just too great. How could there ever be mercy for me? But listen to what God says. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Christians, the trouble is that too often we think in a human way. And we think that because of the way that we would do things, that God must be that way too. We find it hard to forgive, and so we think maybe God finds it hard to forgive too. We find it hard to forget, and so we maybe think that God gets hung up on the past too. But God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. They are as different from each other, as far apart as the heaven is from the earth. We might find it hard to forgive, Christians, but God does not. And no matter how great our sins may be, no matter what we have done, we have a greater Savior. Because his mercies are new to us every morning. And his steadfast love never comes to an end. But do we still doubt it? Do we still wonder if this really means me? Well, just look outside, God says. Look at the rain and the snow. Starting in verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The rain and the snow which comes down brings blessing to the earth. It is moisture that causes all of the good things of the earth to grow. It is something that always brings a rich blessing. It is a rich gift that we didn't even have to pay for. And every time it rains, Christians, this blessing comes. We know this, especially in this dry land. We might even recognize it more this year. Too little rain brings little return. That's just the way that it is. But the right rain at the right time brings great blessing, great abundance. That blessing is always there, and it never fails to bring forth growth and increase because the rain brings that blessing to the earth. And Christians, it's the same way with God's word. His word always brings blessing. It is a word which brings abundance and life. God does not say something and not mean it. God's words do not come out from his mouth and then do nothing at all. His word cannot fail to do what he has sent it to do. And if he has said that those who turn to Jesus will find life and forgiveness, then that word is true. It cannot fail. It's not a word that somehow applies only to somebody else and doesn't apply to you. We have great blessing in Jesus Christ. And God has said that those who call on his name, who come to him, will find life and forgiveness in him. And what a joy it is for us Christians to know this. What joy it is to know that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What joy it is to know that we have a God who forgives sinners. That even the very worst of sinners can find forgiveness and mercy in him. Because God has come to take away the curse of sin. And all of creation rejoices. The mountains and the hills sing. The trees clap their hands. All of these things rejoice knowing that God is taking corruption away. He is bringing life and making all things new. And the angels in heaven, Christians, all rejoice over even one sinner who repents. There is great joy in heaven for every prodigal son who comes home. And this joy is ours through what God has done for us. We have joy because we can see who God truly is. As Isaiah says at the end of the reading, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Thorns and briars are symbols of sin. Because you'll remember that Adam, when he was cursed, God said that thorns would come up for him, that the field would no longer give to him its strength. But now God has taken away that curse. The thorns and the briars have been replaced with the cypress and the myrtle. Life has taken the place of death. And God doing this for us in Jesus Christ shows us who he is. Merciful and gracious, abounding in steadfast love. He is a God who is willing to forgive, a God who loves to forgive. He is our Father who loves us so much that he gave us his only Son to die for us, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. And what joy it is, Christians, to know that this is our God. And this God calls to us to come to him today. So Christians, seek the Lord. Call upon his name. Forsake your sins and return to him today. Because as Paul says in Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That word is true. And our God who spoke this word is the one who calls to us today. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who delights to show mercy to those who call on you in faith, forgive us our sins, and set us in the way which leads to life, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.